Welcome to the Big One Podcast. It's B-Boy, and with me, as always this year, is Baby G. Baby G, say hi to your friends here on a Sunday night.
Hello, listeners. What's up, podcasters? We are here, and we are doing it.
We are doing it, and if you want to do it too, you can message us at podcastbigone on Twitter, or email us at podcastbigone@gmail.com. This is your weekly motorsports podcast, mostly talking NASCAR, but now we've got IndyCar to talk about. We'll always be covering that as well. F1, whenever that fucking thing kicks off, if it ever does. Let's get right into it. Our sponsor for the week is Piroshki Piroshki, which is a beautiful, or I should say wonderful, little Polish, I think they're Polish. Yeah, definitely Polish. Bakery. In Seattle. It's in Pike Place Market as their main location. They might have another location, I'm not sure. But you can go get them there. You'll stand in a very long line. Or you can look out for Piroshki Piroshki to show up near you. They are delivering all throughout the U.S. I live in the Portland, Oregon area, and so they do pre-orders, and then they bring a box, and you go pick it up, and it's on ice packs, and it's perfect, and you can reheat them in your oven. Oh, they're so good. I got beef and onion, beef and cheese. I got a Pike Place chowder frozen thing, and I got bunch of dumplings to make some dumpling stew. Man, I'm Polish. One of my many cultural heritages is Polish, and so I love Polish food. And man, they deliver. It's so good. Sometime when you come out here, we'll go up to Seattle, and I'll treat you to some Baby G.
I'm looking forward to it. You've spoken my love language: Polish food, Polish sausage, Polish anything.
As long as it's not just like the boiled cabbage, you know, that they used to eat in the old country, that kind of thing. But anyway, let's jump into it. Let's talk some NASCAR. Late week podcast last week, very early podcast this week. We're live just after the Sunday race a couple hours ago. We're excited. Let's bring that excitement into this. Let's do a truck race recap. You want to kick us off?
Let's do it. Trucks, the first time they are racing at the street course at St. Petersburg. So Trucks is the support series this week for the IndyCar race, which we will get to in a little bit. So stage one, winner Ben Rhodes. Stage two, winner Lane Riggs. And your race winner is also Lane Riggs. And we have a ton of big names in this one. So interesting that we saw the support series, the trucks. We got Jimmy Hinch, which is the alter ego of James Hinchcliffe, which is one of your normal announcers for the IndyCar series. We've got Dario Franchitti. Francesco.
Yeah, he's got a lot of names.
Yeah, a lot of names. On his box, Jimmy Johnson and Tony Kanaan. And we've also got Jackson Lee and Colin Brune, some big-time names in this thing. So really fun race at the St. Petersburg street course for the trucks. Early in this thing, we got some big contact for Tanner Gray. They keep it green. I'm going to keep this theme going all year. Single car spin, single car contact. They are keeping these races going unless there's some actual danger. What do you think
At a road course? Are you kidding me? Of course. Please keep it green. You know, I'm definitely a fan of the no stage break caution. I get like where people don't like that because it doesn't, or TV doesn't like that because it doesn't give them a chance for a restart and doesn't give them a chance to bunch the field back up. Whatever. I think they should just be going green the whole time. So the more of, of these cautions that kind of take the wind out of the sails of the momentum of the race, the better. And yeah, one guy spinning, are you kidding me? Even when one guy spins and ends up kind of in the gravel, I'm like, fuck him. Make him get out of the car, and we'll go get that car in like 30 laps when there's an actual caution. That's how I feel.
Agree. I love when they leave him out there. Like, this has been a common theme. Just single car spin, single car caution, keep it going. So end of stage one here, Connor Mosack decides to stay out and not take tires or not take gas or anything. And it's like, the broadcast was just like, what is this guy doing? Like, you're second and running and you're like gonna stay out to try to get points or something, like when everyone else was already out and in. It just did not make any sense. So don't know what they were doing there, but basically a brain dead mood for Connor Mosack's crew.
Quick question on this one. He didn't have enough gas to get to the end of stage two, is that right?
Correct.
Yeah, so it is dumb then. I mean, like, I guess you're hoping for a caution somewhere in stage two that will get you there. And it seemed like a bunch of people were banking on this being a wreck fest, which it wasn't. So, you know, maybe that's what it was. I have no idea. Keep going.
Wayne Riggs and Chandler Smith, fantastic battle to end stage two. And I've just got some notes here, like, let's bring the trucks to St. Petersburg every single time we go here for IndyCar, because the trucks, sometimes they get off to a little bit of a slow start, right? Daytona's amazing. Mm-hmm. Atlanta's amazing. And then they kind of go in this lull where you kind of forget about the trucks for a while. But mm-hmm. bringing these trucks to St. Pete was awesome. Yeah. And I want to see this every single year from here.
When I also like this, like, back-to-back, you know, kick off the IndyCar season with NASCAR. Like, it's a good camaraderie. I mean, Penske obviously owns IndyCar. He should be part of this. The one thing I want to say about St. Petersburg before you kind of break down the end of this race is, like, they kept it a really good secret. We didn't know about this until, like, just a number of weeks ago. And they were like, oh, yeah, the trucks are going to end up in St. Petersburg and are going to do the first race of the season there amongst the IndyCar. Like, that was really cool. That's a well-kept secret for them to be able to kind of pull that off. So, yeah, I enjoyed it. And because it wasn't a wreck fest, I thought it was really, really great. I thought because it's a street course, little narrow, it might be a little tough. We never did see the trucks. Trucks never ran Chicago, right? I don't think so, anyway.
Nope.
So, like, yeah, I thought they didn't let them do it because it's a street course. They'll get stacked up, and then you'll end up with a parking lot in one of the corners. Never happened. Never happened here, and obviously never happened in Chicago since they didn't race it. So, it was great. I liked it.
Yeah, that was the best thing about this thing. We'll just run it to the finish here. So Wayne Riggs, man, drives it from way back in the field, and he brings it home for the win. So the last call-out that I have for this truck race at St. Petersburg is they were going two wide, three wide in areas of this course where an IndyCar wouldn't even think about going two wide.
Yep.
IndyCar is never going to go three wide, but it was awesome. Like, these trucks are just beating and banging. They're going through the street course, and the announcers for this thing were just like, good God, like, they were having a fantastic time. And I want to say, let's bring these trucks back to St. Pete.
Yeah, third race in a row where I'd say great truck coverage by the Fox crew. And again, I mean the whole production and the whole kind of coverage in general. I think the booth is not the best, obviously, in truck, but, like, still cutting their teeth. Michael Waltrip's there, and so he's kind of fun, I guess. And yeah, I thought it was really, really good coverage, really good fun race. Lane Riggs really did. It was interesting to see how many different guys were in the race because they should have been good at St. Pete. And yet a guy like Lane Riggs, who is one of the favorites for the championship this year, goes out there and runs a clinic from stage, well, really the whole race, but stage two onward, and wins the whole thing. So that was really cool. Also, shout out Dario Franchitti, because he was, what is he, like 50 something, 52?
52 years old.
52 years old, 52 years young, man. And out there, he hasn't raced in like a decade or something like that. He had a, for those that don't know, because you're just tuning into NASCAR, Dario Franchitti was in a really, really bad accident a number of years ago, like a decade plus ago. And he walked away from racing kind of because of that. So to see him get back in a car, I think everyone was really, really happy to see that. And it wasn't just Jimmy Johnson and Tony Kanaan on the box. There were a bunch of guys that were there supporting him, obviously, because IndyCar was there that weekend. There were just guys around. But they were there. They were in the box. They were excited for Dario. He didn't get the finish that he wanted, but he was up there. He was rubbing elbows with the guys for the first two stages. And I thought that was pretty cool for him to get in that car. It was not his first NASCAR race, though. I think I read that. He had done another one at some point early when he was much, much younger. So, anyway, that's my last of my shutouts. Any last things for trucks?
Nothing. Let's move on to the O'Reilly Series at COTA. I'll break down the stages and you can get into the racing action here. So, stage one winner for O'Reilly at Circuit of the Americas in Austin, Texas, Austin Hill. Stage two winner, Sam Mayer, and let's get a little bit of a drum roll. Your race winner, SVG, Shane Van Gisbergen. What did you see in this O'Reilly Series race at Circuit of the Americas?
Yeah, before kind of breaking it down, I think a little bit here, my first things are, first off, it wasn't the only Austin Hill in the race. There was a guy named Austin J. Hill that was also racing.
That threw me for a loop, dude. I'm like, who is Austin J. Hill in 37th?
Yeah, he was like dead last when Austin Hill won stage one, too. It was just kind of funny. They bookended it. But Yeah, SVG does what he normally does, especially in the lower series, and he goes out there and wins through the deuces when he made a pass with like 5 or 6 to go or something like that, or 8 to go maybe it was, and yeah, went off to win. But really, really good race. It was O'Reilly at Coda. I'm not going to spoil it, but I actually thought the cup race was a little bit better. But it was a good race, and I think, like, having Zilish and SVG there should be able to put on a really good show between the two of them. But there were other guys really involved in this, and it, even though the eyes were definitely on those two. So let me break down this race. Yeah, I like this note. He says, not sure why anyone outside of SVG and Zilish bothered showing up to this race. The coverage definitely treated it that way. CW did do a good job, but they definitely were focused in on these two guys, and for the right reasons. SVG and Zilish flip the first stage, and SVG comes out 10th. Brent Cruz took the lead to start stage 2 and leads a few laps. He's 17 years old. That's really cool. There was a caution with 8 to go, and SVG took the lead from the restart from 6th, one of those calamity corner turn 1 incidences where it's actually really fun because they have that like overhead shoot or shot of that turn 1, and you see the four guys going 4 wide for the lead. And they all shove wide because, obviously, the guy on the very inside does not have a good angle to make the corner. SVG's actually only, like, one car above where he started going in that corner, but he backs up his corner. He didn't have anyone directly on his rear that was going to shove him into the corner, so he's able to back it up and just come out of that perfectly straight, use all of his acceleration, and just blow by everyone else and go right to the lead, which is really cool. Corey Day, this is actually, I think, the biggest story of the whole race, which is that Corey Day basically just kind of turns Zilish in the S's with 3 to go. Zilish runs into the wall head first, heavy damage. Later on the radio, he says Corey Day is an absolute hack. He was a little softer in the post-race comments, but, like, really, that's the third race in a row that Corey Day has wrecked people. And he's wrecked. It's interesting because he's running a Hendrick car, which is affiliated with Junior Motorsports. He's wrecked Junior Motorsports cars in all 3 races. So do with that what you will. It's crazy because we see Raja Karuth out there also not running a full season, but running in the sister car to Corey Day's. Corey Day gets to run a whole fucking season and is wrecking people left and right. And Raja Karuth's out there in his limited schedule impressing people. I don't know. Is it too late? Can we swap the two? Can we let Raja have the full season? Who knows? Our top 5 for the evening, or for the race, sorry, is SVG, Austin Hill, Sammy Smith, Jesse Love, and, unfortunately, Corey Day. He wrecks people, but he still finishes. So, any comments from you? Anything you want to call out?
Awesome, awesome O'Reilly race at COTA. And the only thing here that was a little bit embarrassing is SVG. He's got his normal celebration when he wins. He likes to punt the rugby ball into the stands, and he gives it a little punt ski, and it doesn't even get over the catch fence. It was a little bit pathetic. It kind of just petered out and hit the track there and rolled down a little bit. So we've got to figure this out. If we're going to do the punt, we've got to actually make it into the stands here, SVG.
Yeah, he needs to be – he's an older guy. He needs to be working that out, making sure his leg's strong. I didn't see it, though. Was it a far distance? Was it hard to make that shot?
Oh, it was, like, going to be, like, a 400-yard field goal.
Oh, shit. Okay, so he tried to
kick it. He kicked that thing as hard as he could, and it was like, okay, next time we do this, we got to get closer to the stands before we do the punt. Because, yeah, it was like, he was doing it from victory lane, and it's like, okay, you've got to cross the entire track, then the catch fence, then the stands. It was like, all right, bro, we've got a track house. We know SVG is going to win this. Just have a quasi-kicker, punter, get that thing in the stands after he signs it. Let's have a runner the next time.
Yeah. I mean, he should just do it from wherever he celebrates, like where he does his donuts, because like that's where the action is. That's the excitement. He gets the ball. He signs it. He does his interview. He punts it. Like it's fun. He should be doing it there. So I totally agree. Cool. I'm going to do the cup race because I have exciting news for those that didn't watch it. Starting with stage 1, Ross Chastain takes this. Stage 2, Ty Gibbs. Before I announce who wins the race, who wins the stages here really doesn't matter that much because of the pitting situation. Some guys pit, some guys don't. And because we now have year-long points, the points fucking matter. Like, getting a 10-point bump when you're not good at road courses matters. Like to stay out there. And a couple guys used that strategy to get some points early so that their finish at the end didn't feel quite as bad. And I think that's really smart. But it didn't all matter in the end because Tyler Reddick goes back to back to back. The three-peat for a guy that came into the year with 8 wins to his name in the Cup Series at 8 different tracks. He finally repeats after 10 races and wins at COTA for the second time in his career. First person to repeat at COTA in the Cup Series. And his 11th win total as a career. What a fucking start. Comments? You want to start breaking it down? What do you want to do?
What a start. Let's just cut to the chase here. Tyler Reddick, 3 for 3. Insane. Like, this... I'll just jump to the beginning of the race here because, like, Reddick starts on the pole and then immediately he is dropping back and I immediately in my head go, uh-oh, like, what is going on with the 2311 cars? Like, Blaney, the first two stages of this race, Ryan Blaney showed me that he has some speed on the road courses and he opened a can of whoop-ass on the field and opened a 7.2 second lead. Obviously, like you said... The stages don't matter. You flip the stage. But what was going on with this 12 car?
Yeah, the car was just hooked up, man. Like, the way that I watch the road courses is not the way that I used to watch in the 90s. In the 90s, Tony Stewart and Jeff Gordon were dueling it out, and you would, like, kick the rear out, and you'd kind of bump over the bumps and shoot over them. That was how the old car handled. This one, you want it to be, like, look tight. You want it to come in and out of the corners without any wheel spin, any kind of kicking the rear out. If you ever see a guy come out of a corner and then immediately turn the other direction and you see that whole body of the car like shift left to right, kind of like you would on a weeble wobble, like that is not good. It's speed that is being shredded, and that's normally where SVG is much smoother. He knows, wait, okay, now I can start turning the other way. That kind of thing. Blaney's car looked perfect in that first stage. But obviously didn't go on to win. But let's keep breaking it down.
Blaney was definitely rolling every single corner. Like, that car was on rails. And I don't know what happened later in the race. I think it was just something with tires or something happened. But yeah, stage two in this one, pretty uneventful. Like, Reddick, Blaney, they were literally running the same exact lap times every single lap. Hold court 1 and 2, and then they obviously flip the stage again to go to the end of this thing. And then a little bit of a side note. So I am watching the Circuit of the Americas race, and I've got the Milwaukee Bucks game on my side TV. We're at the Chicago Bulls, and I've got the Bucks up 12, and I'm like, all right, looking good. We're going to be moving up in the standings. And before you know it, 27-0 run, and we're losing the game. Like, I have never seen an NBA team give up a 27-0 run in years.
Yeah, I remember the Celtics opened up like a 23-0 start to a game, like a season. Or no, it was in the championship season. But they weren't playing anyone good, and y'all weren't playing anyone good either. The Bulls are not good. Anyway, not an NBA podcast.
Well, the Bulls are trash. Let's move on, bro. We're allocating all of our former season ticket dollars to Phoenix Raceway, and we're gonna splash the cash. So stage three in this thing, Tyler Reddick is still dominating. Blaney is right there with him. And I've got a little bit of a question for you. So Larson comes into the pits when they're doing their last stops, and he goes, energy gummies. And I'm like, what? Like, they just said Larson's getting energy gummies. Is this like Gatorade gummies or like just like electrolytes? What's going on with this? I've never heard this before.
Yeah, they're the electrolyte gummies. They got some other stuff in them, but they're just electrolyte gummies. The ones that Hendrick used a number of years ago, I remember they gave out samples at one of the races that I went to, and they tasted awful. But they were like really good for you. They weren't actually the Gatorade ones. They're like even higher end than that. And it was some weird brand. So I'm sure they're using some kind of like special formula. It's not the ones that you can buy off the shelf. I'm sure it's better than that. But yeah, that's essentially what it is. It's good energy boost, good nutrients, good whatever.
Love it. That needs to be an activation at the track, because a lot of times you get at the track in the morning and it's like, man, I could just go for a little bit of juice. And that's one of the things that I love about IndyCar. Like, the last 4 or 5 IndyCar races I've been at, they've had Java House there, and they have, like, you can get a free pour over coffee, you can get energy drinks. We'll get into that a little bit after we wrap up the Cup race here. So 21 to go, Ross Chastain loses a wheel and brings out a caution. I kind of missed this one. Like, all of a sudden I looked up from my disastrous Milwaukee Bucks game, and like, Chastain is way off in the dirt and he just lost a wheel. So don't know what happened there.
And yeah, then one of the, they had just pit, just put this out there. They had just pit. So like, you lose tire. That's all.
Yeah, that'll happen. And then one of the weirdest things that happened was Bowman, man, 48, Bowman Showman. He was struggling all race. I look up on the leaderboard, and for some reason, Bowman's in 36th position out of 37. Cody Ware, hats off to you, bro. You're in like 32nd. And then I'm like, Bowman is in 36th. What is going on? And he had to end up just pulling off and getting out of the car. And it looked like he was really struggling, something with an illness or something. But hopefully Bowman's okay and he'll get some of those energy gummies and be back next week.
Yeah, I'll say, like, not the first time that Bowman has struggled coming out of a race. And I'm not going to, you know, illness, of course, like, that's going to do it to you. I think anyone that comes into these cars understands, like, how hot it is. I think Dario, in the truck race after that race, he got out of the car and he, too, was just, like, sitting on the ground getting ice packs. And that was in Florida, not Texas. It was a little warmer at COTA than it was in Florida for that race. It just is hotter than you expect it to be. And Bowman, yeah, he finishes the majority of races without having issue. But I've seen it a couple times now. And, you know, if the guy is sick, you do want to start the race. But, like, yeah, like you said, if he's running 36, maybe he should have came out of the race way sooner and let someone else try and finish it and get him a good finish. Because he's going to get the points regardless as long as he gets out of the car. As long as he starts the race before he gets out of the car. So.
That's a really good call out, because a couple of things on that, like Kyle Larson, he had an issue where his cool suit was not working. So it sounded like when you have the cool suit that's not working, it's basically a hot suit because you can't get that water out of the chest, and like it just
boils and on your belly.
Yeah. So he was not the only guy with issues in this race. And I heard a couple of other guys had that issue, and it's like, man, like, you think you could diagnose that before the race, but it's like anything, man. Like, you get there in your car and all of a sudden your heater isn't working in your, you know, Toyota Camry or whatever you got at home, and it's just like all of a sudden you've just got to go 250 miles in this thing and it's just not going to catch up to you. So the other one that had the issue was Brad Keselowski, and he actually had the option to have a reserve driver because Keza was still on that leg injury. He walked to the stage into his car in a cane again, and he just refused to get out of the car and let a reserve driver go. And I just don't think that makes any sense for Keselowski specifically.
Where did Kez end up finishing? Do you know?
I don't know. At one point I saw he was in the 30s.
Yeah, he was low. He was trying to look at low.
He did not finish well. I mean, he grinded it out. He was in the mid-20s in the third stage, which is impressive because he's basically still has a broken leg. But I would have thought this would have been one, like, start the car, park it, let the reserve driver come, and just get whatever points that guy can get for you.
100%. Yeah, it's a tough race with all the shifting and honestly the G's that you take into some of these corners and the S's and everything. You got to really hold yourself in there. That's a tough race to be doing in that condition. Props to him for finishing it out, even if he didn't finish well. It is what it is. So, last couple notes here. There's a restart with about 17 to go after Chastain pulled off without the wheel. Zilish gets spun again. This is significant because the network kept commenting on it, but Zilish was running really quick laps. He got spun really... it wasn't the first restart. It was like the second restart, right? In the beginning of the race. And so when he got spun there, he had to work his way all the way back through. He did. And he was running the fastest laps. I think he did end up having the fastest lap of the race. For that extra bonus point, but he had run all the way back up into the top five. And when that happened, honestly, like, I breathed a sigh of relief because Reddick already had a battle, Blaney and SVG, to win this thing. If Zilish was there, it was just going to be too much. So one of the three of them was going to be able to get it done. But luckily, he spun, and Reddick goes on, wins the race. Zilish is not doing well on points. Luckily, he doesn't have to battle anyone for Rookie of the Year, because he's not had a great first three races in the Cup Series. That said, he looked really good. Get ready for the next couple of road courses, because it'll be like him and SVG, in my opinion, will be battling for these wins. So,
Without a doubt, man. I thought Zilich was killing it in the third stage. He was driving through the field, and unfortunately he got caught up in a little bit of a spin ski there. So last call out for this cup race. Michael Jordan again, like you said, Tyler Reddick three in a row, and that means 23-11 wins the race. And they've got Michael Jordan in victory lane, and he says, I will be in Phoenix next week. We will see you there, and I will see you there. MJ, hit me up in section 115 for that O'Reilly race, section 112 for that cup race. We will be there, brother, and we will be gambling hard with you on the golf course and on the racetrack.
Yeah, he'll come join you in section 112, I'm sure.
For sure, bro.
Tell him to bring a pizza. That's what we always do. Awesome. Let's jump into some other series. IndyCar kicked it off in St. Petersburg. We talked about that with the kind of lead-in from the Truck Series and NXT. NXT was there, obviously, as well. They both ran. And IndyCar ran on Sunday, which was earlier today. They ran this morning. Give me your quick highlights on this one. I don't know that we need to spend too much time on it.
Yeah, we'll cut to the main event here. So my number one call-out is they finally have the driver eye camera in every single race car this year. So apparently it was an issue in the last couple of years that the teams needed to fund their own driver's eye camera, which in my opinion is totally embarrassing for Roger Penske and his series. Like, that is a basic bitch thing that you need in a racing series is the driver eye camera. So love that they have that on every single car this year.
It's a cool shot. I mean, it really, really is. I mean, same thing with F1. F1, though, is like no shortage of money. So anytime they can mount a camera somewhere, they make everyone do it. So anyway.
Without a doubt. So let's just cut to the chase on this thing. Alex Palou, absolute domination. Middle of this thing, there were a couple of cautions. And then after they come out of the caution lap at lap 41, there are 59 laps to go of this 100-lap race. And Palou was immediately running 0.6 seconds faster than the rest of the field. So he's gapping the field by 0.6 seconds. And he just dominates. So it ends up winning this thing by 13 seconds. Yeah. And the last call out I have on this IndyCar race is Jameis Winston was the honorary flag bearer, starter, like hype man. And his kid stole the show. His kid goes, I am just sitting in class, and all I want to do is drive race cars. All I want to do is study racing. All I want to do is watch racing. And they actually held the interview with Jameis Winston and his kid for like a 2 solid minutes at one time, because this kid was stealing the show. And I've got notes here, and I say, this is what this sport needs. We need hype men. We need hype kids. We need people that just love motorsport and racing, and we have them on network TV.
Yeah, this was, I mean, it was more entertaining than what was going on at that point in the race.
Absolutely.
So totally cool there. Yeah, Palou is just too much. He's too good. Dixon was having a pretty good race right before he kind of lost a tire, I think you say, on lap 41. He was doing pretty well. If anyone could have ran with him, it might have been him, or with Palou, it could have been Dixon, so... Palou runs away with it. Looks like we're going to get the same thing this year. St. Pete is either this, where, like it's not that exciting of a race, or you get, like, a wreck fest. And so we didn't get the wreck fest this year, which might have been more exciting. So, where are we heading next week? You've only mentioned it 25 times, but tell the people one more time.
Let's go. We are going to Phoenix Raceway for the Cup Series on Sunday at 2:30 for the Straight Talk Wireless 500. O'Reilly Series on Saturday, the GovX 200, and IndyCar Good Ranchers 250 on Saturday as the kickoff to the weekend. So this is a little bit curious to me that the IndyCar is the afternoon race and we got the O'Reillys for the nightcap. I kind of like that because I think these IndyCars at Phoenix on a hot track are going to be insane. Like, it's either going to be a total wreckfest, or it's going to be whoever can just wheel that thing up there and get it around the high line. I don't think it's going to be a two-lane race at Phoenix in the heat. I think it's just going to be everyone's going to run the high line, and whoever can get around that thing the fastest is going to win it.
I think I'm really curious. I'm really curious to see how they race here, because I think, like, look at how NASCAR has expanded their racing at Phoenix, because it's been so hard to pass and to really, like, get out of each other's wake at Phoenix, that, like, you've got guys cutting so low they're almost hitting the pit wall. And then, like you said, you've got guys running that top line, not all the way to the wall because that's not helpful, but a couple lanes off of it and just running that top line and just kind of, like, keeping their speed up through the corner. You can do either thing. And in IndyCar, like, I have no idea what we're going to see. It's a flat track. It's not much flatter on the apron as it is, like, upper top of the corner. So, like, maybe some guys can make it stick on the lower line. Maybe that will be how you have to pass. I have no idea how they're going to do this. Will they shoot the dog leg? Maybe. That would be cool. I guess you'll find out. You let us know. Live stream on Twitter for us. Sweet. Well, breaking this down, last year's Cup winners were Blaney and Bell. And then in 2024, we had Logano and Bell. And then 2023, we had Chastain and Byron. So some common names there. Penske, obviously, really, really good at Phoenix. I'm glad we're not going there for the championship this year for that reason. But or that we're not settling a championship in one race, I guess, too. But yeah, Penske's going to be people to look out for. Fords in general run really, really well here, and looks like the Chevys normally do. This is our first real test of Chevy's new body, because at Daytona, it doesn't really matter. Atlanta doesn't matter. Road course, not as aero dependent. This is our first test. We'll see how the Chevys do. Any last comments on Phoenix before we head in?
No comments on Phoenix. We are ready to hit that airplane and get out there and see some hot racing.
Sweet. All right, talking about hot racing, it's time for New Guy Reads the Standings. Baby G, you want to take us through it?
Let's run it down. So as we had last week, 23-11 dominating Tyler Reddick, 186 points. Oof. And in second place, Bubba Wallace, an absolutely massive 70 points behind Tyler Reddick. That's what happens when you win a ton of stages. You win races. 23-11, off to a hot start. So let's just run through the next couple here. Chase Elliott in third, Ryan Blaney in fourth. SVG jumping all the way up into fifth on his big day at Circuit of the Americas. Joey Logano in sixth. Daniel Suarez in seventh. The Dinger AJ in eighth, moving up 10 spots. Michael McDowell in ninth. Carson Hocevar in 10th. And then running through your last top 16, Chris Buescher, Brad Keselowski, William Byron, Zane Smith, Kyle Larson, and Ryan Preece, rounding out your current top 16 drivers. What do we got here? What do you see? And then what do we see outside of the top 16?
Yeah, I'm gonna still reserve. I keep saying this. I'm gonna reserve my, like, real judgments for who's in, who's out until we're five races in. I think that's the nice safe spot where it starts to kind of matter. Still have 21 races after that before our playoffs gets decided. But looks like a great start for, obviously, 23-11 with two of their three at the top of the standings. RFK has all three cars in the playoffs right now, which is pretty cool. We got three of the four Hendrick cars are all up in there. And then, you know, obviously Alex Bowman, like we've talked about, has had a terrible start to the season. He's only got 23 points on the whole year. You talked about where Tyler Reddick is and how much of a distance he has. That's 70 points, because I keep counting it out each week. The 70-point advantage he has over second place, that is more than 16th on back have in three races. His average right now per race is 62 points, which is, that's a good race. Like, that's a, you've got stage points and you won the race. Generally, that's the only way you're going to get to 62 points. That's more points than Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, Christopher Bell, Ryan Herbst, Ricky Stenhouse, Chase Briscoe, Josh Berry, Cole Custer, Austin Cindric, Colin Zillish. All of these guys have in three whole races. That's why the win bonus matters, and that's why winning actually matters. Well, obviously, winning three in a row is huge. It's a crazy advantage that he's going to have. It probably won't stick around the whole year. I wish it will, but I doubt it will. That's what winning can do for you, and that's how quickly another one of these guys that's, like, running 24th. Like, let's see, Christopher Bell's running 24th. Let's say he wins Phoenix. I bet he goes from 24th all the way up to, like, 8th. That's how much winning can matter.
Without a doubt, man, this full season points, like we said, is bringing an entire new, energy, like, something. It's bringing that spark to the series that we didn't have in previous years. I'm absolutely loving this. Like, just looking at this thing, like, my guy, Chase Briscoe, he's 27th in points because he had a raw deal today. He went out of the race early. And that just kills you. Like, now you're uphill battle the next 3 to 4 to 5 weeks. You got to grind and get your ass back in there. Yeah. Otherwise, like, if you get 10 races in and you're down in 27th, like, it's over. So,
love
that there's no winning in. Love the full season points. Nobody said Ty Gibbs. Dude, he popped up 16 positions because he took those stage wins or stage top 10s. Yeah, like, he just got stage points. So, it's a different calculus, different calculation this year for the full season points. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Just one last thing, kind of looking at the stage points this year. Bubba Wallace, who also stayed out and won, got stage points in stage one and stage two today, didn't have as good of a finish, but he continues his domination right now of the stage points. He has the most stage points of anyone right now, 34, tied with Ryan Blaney, who also has 34. And then behind them, 25, I see 23 for the Josevar. Josevar wrecked towards the end of this race. We didn't even talk about it.
Yeah, he did. That was weird.
He's just not good at road courses. It's just kind of comical because Michael McDowell and Daniel Suarez, his teammates, are actually really good at road courses. So I didn't even comment on that, but all three of those Spire cars are in the top 10. So do with that what you will, too. But yeah, stage points, they really do matter. 34 points is, what is that, like almost one third of how much Bubba has. He's second in points. So
wild,
that's how
dude.
Much stage points wild. Can matter. Yep, cool. All right, we're going to head to Phoenix. You're actually going to head to Phoenix. Really, really excited to have you out there. I want to do a shout-out. If you listen this far in the podcast, that's awesome. But I want you to know something more awesome, which is how good of a partner Baby G is. Baby G accommodates a baby's schedule, and not his schedule. I mean my baby's schedule. He allows us to do late nights or wait around all day, snowed in, until I can get on for us to record. We record late in the week, record early in the week. He's always there. He's a really good partner, and he's been editing all of the episodes. So shout out Baby G. Baby G, you got to get the sponsor for us this week, so good luck. Have some fun, and take lots of pictures. I'm looking forward to seeing some stuff.
We will be chumming it up hard in the suites at Phoenix and getting some major sponsors for the Big One Podcast.
Woo.
Thank you all for listening to the Big One Podcast. As always, you can find us on Twitter, at Podcast Big One. Keep those emails coming, podcastbigone@gmail.com. Like B-Boy said, we will see you in Michael Jordan's suite at Phoenix Raceway. Thank you all for listening, and we will catch you next time on the Big One Podcast.
Woo! Bye!